I'd like to convene the Ways and Means Committee. We're going to take a couple of the bills first. We'll start with House File 1960 by Representative Halverson, Voting Equipment Purchase with Help America Vote Act Grants, the deadline extended. And while she's coming forward, we do have the minutes in our folder. Representative Simon, would you like to move the minutes?
I will, Mr. Chair. I'll move approval of the minutes of Monday, March 10th.
Okay, motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. With that, Representative Halverson, you're all set?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr.
House File 1960. I move that House File 1960 be recommended to be placed on the general register. We got that new motion, so I have to make sure I do it correctly. Okay, the motion is before us. If you'd like to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. This bill essentially just changes the spend down date for the federal Help America Vote Act funds that were provided to the state of Minnesota and distributed by the legislature in 2010. Currently, there are just over a dozen counties that still have Help America Vote Act grant monies to spend. These are expenditures for one-time purchases of voting equipment, and a couple of things are on the horizon. One, counties are trying to make really good decisions about what technology is going to work best. There's a few new technologies and voting machines that are in the works that have yet to go through the certification process. And once those go through the certification process, the amount of competition and choice available for the counties that still have money will be greatly improved, and the counties will be able to make better decisions. So this allows them that flexibility by extending the spend down date from 2014 to 2016.
Okay, any discussion? Representative Holbert.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Halverson. We were given this document here that has six counties. Is there a reason, when you said there were about a dozen, is there a reason why this document has excluded counties, or... I'm curious.
Mr. Chair and Representative Holberg, I can get you data on the additional counties. These are this is the bulk of the monies that were waiting to be spent, and so this chart shows where the bulk of the monies are, but there are a handful of counties beyond this that have much smaller dollar amounts in there.
All right, thank you.
Representative Holberg. Any further discussion? Seeing none, then I renew my motion that House File 1960 be recommended to be placed on the general register. Any further discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Representative Willie here. The chair moves that Senate File 1952, First Engrossment, be recommended to be placed on the general register. Representative Lilly.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. Thank you for having us before you. This bill here ratifies eight collective bargaining contracts and compensation plans for three department heads with like the para and some of the other heads of those pensions. And it has been before the subcommittee employee relations, and then we had a stop in the jobs committee, and seems to have met with minimum opposition or questions. And I have Mr. Hubinger here with me today. If you'd like him to go through the bill with greater detail, it'd just take a few seconds. Okay, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Hubinger.
Mr. Chair and members, I'm Greg Hubinger with the Legislative Coordinating Commission and the Subcommittee on Employee Relations. I'll just cover the fiscal impacts of the contracts then. The contracts generally provide for a 3% across-the-board increases on July 1st of 2013 and July 1st of 2014. The contracts generally also provide performance-based increases, also known as step increases, for those employees who are eligible. Typically, about half of state employees in each of the unions is eligible for these increases. Those increases range between 2.75% and 3.5%. An additional item that affects the fiscal aspect of the contracts is that beginning in January of 2015, employees will begin paying 5% of the employee premium for their health insurance. Generally, the contracts have a 4.65% impact on the FY14-15 biennium, and when those costs are annualized, they affect the next biennium, 16-17, by about 6.7%. Mr. Chair, that's a quick rundown of the fiscal impacts.
Okay. Any questions of the author or Mr. Hubinger? Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Lilly, I understand that under this bill you have increased the maximum allowed for meal expenses reimbursement. What was it at for the meal expenses, and then what is it increasing to?
Mr. Chair and Representative Anderson, I think there was like for three different meals, if my memory serves me, and I think it went up about $2 per meal. So a breakfast was at a different. So thank you.
Representative Lilly.
Mr. Chair and Representative Anderson, so it's currently $8, for example, for breakfast, and it'll go to 11, and lunch will be about $10, going to 13, and then dinner would be 17 to 20. And at the subcommittee, I made a joke. I didn't think senators could probably eat for that. Us House members probably could.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Hubinger, maybe you can help me out. When, how much have we reimbursed for meal expenses, and how does that work? Can you just give me a little better idea of how that works out?
Mr. Hubinger.
Mr. Chair and Representative Anderson, employees are reimbursed for meals when they're in travel status on business-related travel for the state, and they complete the forms and they're approved by the supervisor and then paid as part of their payroll.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Hubinger, is that for out-of-state travel or does that include in-state travel as well? And is there a mileage requirement on it as well?
Mr. Chair and Representative Anderson, there are separate rates for in-state versus out-of-state travel. And I'm sorry, what was the second part of your question?
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You said there's separate rates for in-state and out-of-state. What are the differences between the two?
Mr. Chair and Representative Anderson, the out-of-state travel is approximately $2 higher for each meal.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Anderson.
So, Mr. Hubinger, so for breakfast it would be $13, lunch $15, and then for dinner $22.
Mr.
Chair and Representative Anderson, the new in-state rate for breakfast is 9, for out-of-state 11, in-state for lunch is 11, out-of-state 13, in-state rate for dinner is 16, and out-of-state 20.
And Mr. Chair,
Representative Anderson,
can you help me out? Why is there a difference between in-state and out-of-state reimbursement rates?
Mr. Chair and Representative Anderson, we generalize this as being out of state, but it's actually a specified area of 22 metropolitan areas around the country, and they have been studied by Minnesota Management and Budget and found that they have higher costs of living and higher rates generally, and so there's a higher reimbursement rate provided.
And Mr. Chair,
Representative Anderson,
does that include Washington and Oregon?
Mr. Chair and Representative Anderson, I don't have a copy of the 22 areas with me.
Okay. Mr. Chair, if I could get that, if you could just shoot me an email, that'd be great. Thank you.
Okay, any further discussion? Okay, seeing none then, I'll renew my motion that Senate File 1952, the first engrossment, be recommended to be placed on the general register. Any further discussion? Seeing none then, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
Motion carried. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Just want to mention, I enjoyed watching you and Representative Nornes over the weekend on TV. You had a nice legislator piece.
Sounds like you had an exciting weekend.
Very good.
Really funny.
Okay, this is House File 1926, and the chair moves that House File 1926, the second engrossment, be recommended to be placed on the general register. Representative Hansen, if you want to give us a quick overview.
Sure. Mr. Chair and members of the committee, House File 1926 is the outdoor heritage bill. It has over $108 million in recommendations from the Outdoor Heritage Council. But before I answer anything about the bill, I do want to recognize Mr. Bill Becker, who is here, who has been the executive director of the council since its inception. And he has announced he will be retiring at the end of the year. And I want to formally thank Mr. Becker for all the work that he has done. I think it has made the council and the process work in the last few years. So thank you, Bill, for all the work you've done. And I would hope the committee would recognize that work
as
well.
I think we can, yes. And I would only point out that Mr. Becker was before us when he was with DNR prior to that role. So a long history of state public service. So,
Mr. Chair,
you.
2 seconds. I first testified in front of the legislature in February of 1977. It's been a joyous time ever since, and I have a great deal of respect for the work that you all do. It has made my life a very interesting life. and a fulfilling life. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
And Mr. Chair, we have two technical correction amendments. There was one that was made in a previous committee that didn't get picked up in an engrossment, and the other was a technical correction. If someone could move those.
The first one is Amendment A-20. Chair moves the amendment. Unless Representative Wagenius would like to, came from your committee. Want to move the amendment? Okay. Representative Wagenius moves the A-20 amendment.
Engrossment error. Yeah. This is the one. A-20 is what's up for.
Mr. Chair,
it just looks like people might be struggling. It removes the word state when it was meant that any law is applicable, and it was a mistake to say state law because any local ordinances or applicable rules should apply, so the word should actually be deleted.
I talked to Mr. Becker just prior to the meeting, and he indicated that it was housekeeping, if I recall.
Mr. Chair, correct? Yes, these are engrossment errors. These are amendments that have gone on earlier and just failed to get into the bill.
Okay, any further discussion on the A-20 amendment? Seeing none, then, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Next amendment is the A-14 amendment. Representative Wagenius?
Yes.
Okay, Representative Wagenius moves the amendment. Representative Hansen or Mr. Becker, either of you want to comment very quickly?
Mr. Chair, Bill Becker, the Executive Director of the Lasard Sam's Council. This amendment does two things. It clarifies that this is an enhancement project which makes the money available for 5 years. 5 years, excuse me. But it asks that the council, in reviewing the accomplishment plan and the recipients, accelerate the getting the money out into the field for aquatic invasive species purposes. This is an amendment to a $4 million recommendation and appropriation to do pilot projects on aquatic invasive species to try to determine what is the most effective way to stop their spread from or to waters in Minnesota.
Okay, the motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Representative Hansen or Mr. Becker, want to give us a quick overview of the bill?
Mr. Becker. Mr. Chair, I'll be happy to take a few minutes and go over the bill. There are 42 projects or programs for $109 million. It's our sixth year of recommendations. For this committee, it's important to know that the reserve under no sales tax change in this bill in the fund is 8.2%. If House File 177 third engrossment is enacted, there's a 1.9% cushion. 63% of the effort, activity, in acres is in enhancement and restoration, a problem identified in the beginning of this particular effort is something needing a great deal of effort. At the same time, the majority of the funding is in acquisition. The PILT liability on an annual basis from the general fund, if all lands described in these proposals are acquired, is an additional $240,000 per year. The majority of the effort is focused on the prairie, 58% of the acres and 54% of the money. 12% of the activity is in the metropolitan urbanizing area, and 17% of the funding is for that area. This is an all-time high for metro and surrounding counties. Generally, it's been in the hovering around 10%. Recommendations include funding for 3 park units, 3 watershed districts, 1 conservation district, 1 tribe, 2 state agencies, and 13 non-governmental organizations, such as the Nature Conservancy, Ducks Unlimited, or Pheasants Forever. The investments are, 73% of the investments are in continuing targeted programs. These are programs that on a regular basis inventory the state for opportunities for things like shallow lake restoration and prioritize those opportunities and then apply the money to them. Very briefly running through the substance of the bill on line 2.5, you'll find prairies at $37,435. $8.5 million is for state habitat units, WMAs, SNAs, and I think it's important also to note that for the first time there's $370,000 for Cohasson Three Rivers Park District, a prairie complex restoration. Anoka County is getting $380,000 if this bill becomes law for prairie oak savanna restoration along the Mississippi and Rum Rivers. In forests, which is subdivision 3, beginning on page 8, line 35, we recommend $16,100,000 for that class of habitat. I want to bring your attention to preventing forest fragmentation, protecting and restoring lake and stream habitat in the St. Louis River. It's to the Fond du Lac tribe band. For $2.8 million, it will acquire 956 acres. In southeast Minnesota, in the forest, the Nature Conservancy is pledged to buy, spend $5,777,000 in acquisition and restoration. Subdivision 4 is wetlands, $24,010,000. It starts on page 12, line 15. The lead programs there are the RIM WRP program. It's our phase 6 of funding this with the Board of Water and Soil Resources at $9.7 million. 4C in that subdivision is Living Shallow Lakes and Wetland Initiative Phase 4 with Ducks Unlimited for nearly $5 million. Subdivision 5 is the General Habitat subdivision with $30,890,000. It begins on page 14, line 25. I'd like to bring your attention to 5I, Restoration and Enhancement of Washington County Public Lands for $430,000, Worth Park. The next one, 5J, Worth Park Enhancements to the Minneapolis Park Board at $600,000. Very briefly, the council had a difference with the legislature in the prior years with regard to funding some of these types of projects. We took the time to take a look at the habitat value and the projects proposed and found some of them in terms of metropolitan habitat projects to be of value to fish and wildlife in Minnesota and step forward with funding. 5K is evaluating the effectiveness of aquatic invasive species prevention strategies. It's to the Central Minnesota Initiative Fund for $400,000. And then last but not least, 5M and 5N, two conservation partner legacy grant programs that go through the Department of Natural Resources that are designed specifically for small organizations and smaller projects. I say smaller projects, they're limited to $400,000 or less. In addition to the general application, there are a series of what we refer to as pre-designed programs off the shelf for small groups to get funding. So if you want to restore a prairie, tell us how many acres it is and you get a specific amount of money. And that is the bill.
Hey, are there any questions? Well, seeing none, Representative Hackbrett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't have a question, but I would like to make an amendment. If we could delete line 9.1 through 9.11 would be my motion.
Representative Hackbarth, if you could explain your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. 9.1 through 9.11 is an appropriation that would essentially give the Fond du Lac tribe $2.8 million to purchase some land that would then become part of their trust lands. And I don't believe that when this bill was, when this amendment to the Constitution was passed, that that is what was intended by the people that were voting for this, that we're going to give money to sovereign nations, and then we could not have anything to say about that property after that. This land is supposed to be open for hunting and fishing for folks that put money into this, the taxpayers, and there is no guarantee once this land is turned over to the trust, the Fond du Lac tribe, that this will ever be open to hunting and fishing. Or maybe in the near future, but maybe in the late future, not open to hunting and fishing for the people of the state of Minnesota. So that's why I would move to delete those sections.
Okay, Representative Hackbarth, if you could repeat that for me, the page number and the lines.
Mr. Chairman, it's page 9, and it's lines 9.1 through 9.11.
Okay, the motion is before us.
Mr. Chair.
I've got Representative Wagenius.
Mr. Chair, I'd like a roll call on this, please.
Okay, roll call has been requested. Representative Hansen.
Mr. Chair and members, I would oppose the amendment that is trying to delete something from the recommendations from a unanimous vote by the council. I worked on the constitutional amendment, was a member with the conference committee. I don't remember anything on the constitutional amendment that said no Native Americans need apply.
Okay,
the Fond du Lac band went through the process, responded to the request for proposal, made the application, and the recommendation came from a unanimous vote to the council, and I think we should keep this in the bill.
Representative Colbert.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Hansen, has this been done before? I mean, it's kind of, I mean, you say that no Native Americans may apply, but I'm not so sure that it's as simple as that, given their sovereign nation status. Has there been a precedence for this?
Mr. Chair and Representative Colbert, the Fond du Lac band applied the previous year and was not recommended. This would be the first time that an appropriation would be made in this manner. However, we have made appropriations to the federal government and had a reversionary clause in those recommendations so that if the contract was broken, the land would revert back to the state. So we do have a precedent in there, and this particular appropriation, we have that same on-the-record component in the accomplishment plan for a reversionary clause if the contract was broken.
Thank you.
Any further discussion? Well,
just a point. This county voted overwhelmingly for the amendment, including members of the tribe. They are voters in the state. They are taxpayers in the state. We have some language about the amount of taxes that they probably pay, so they're paying the tax. Right now, their arrangements for their land on the reservation have completely been to allow hunting. The only issue they have is that the wolf is a sacred animal, and so they do not allow wolf hunting on that. And the proportion of the land in this, the proportion of the land that would not be open to wolf hunting compared to the part of the state that is open to wolf hunting is 0.00003%. In other words, 0.003% is the part of the land that would be closed to wolf hunting. So it's not exactly a strain on the wolf hunters of the state. And that's the only kind of hunting that they've not allowed. So I would urge defeat of this amendment.
Okay, any further discussion? Okay, seeing none, the clerk will take the roll.
Carlson?
No.
Abler?
No.
Anderson?
Yes.
Ansel?
No.
Atkins?
No.
Beard is excused. Brainerd?
No.
Clark is excused. Davids? Dabney?
No.
Dean? Dettmer? Gunther?
Yes.
Hackbarth?
Aye.
Hausman?
No.
Hillstrom excused. Holberg?
Yes.
Hornstein?
No.
Huntley?
No.
Kahn?
No.
Nincheski excused. Loon?
Aye.
Mahoney?
No.
Mariani?
No.
Marquardt?
No.
McNamara? Mullery?
No.
Norris?
Yes.
Hamar?
No.
Polowski?
No.
Poppy?
No.
Simon?
No.
Ogenius?
No.
Woodard?
Yes.
Very observant, Joseph. Being 7 ayes and 19 nays, the motion is defeated. Any further discussion on the bill? Okay, seeing none, Representative Wagenius, would you like to renew the motion?
I would do that.
Okay, Representative Wagenius renews the motion that House File 1926, second engrossment as amended, be recommended to be placed on the general register. Any further discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
No.
Motion carried.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Klein.
I can just make a side comment. I would hope, and I know it's, I think the problem we're having is not with members here, but with the Senate. I would hope that both this bill and the LCCMR bill, which get passed with hardly any changes, could get passed very early. If we could pass them early, of course it's more important in the odd year when early would mean January, we could get a full year's growing season up on doing some of these projects. And particularly for the AIS, where they've got to kind of do some qualifications and do some integration plans, it would just be really great if we could get these passed and they could have those ready to go by July. So I don't think the problem is with us, but since you're more influential than most of the other people in this room, you know, any influence you could get to get those passed quickly and to the governor would be very appreciated.
And that's one of the reasons that we've moved the bill in ways and means as early as we have. I fully concur, and those of you that support the bill would hope that we maybe contact the senators that have an interest in it as well.
Thank you.
Okay. I think what we're going to do is revert to the House budget resolution. The chair moves to amend the resolution of the Ways and Means Committee adopted March 4th, 2014, CSRE 706, as follows. Page 1, delete lines 4 to 9 and insert, be it resolved that the sum of $1,038,223,000 is the maximum limit on net expenditure changes from the general fund for fiscal year 2014 and 2015. What that part of the resolution does is it enables us to adjust the target to cover the spending increases that will be described further in the budget resolution, as well as the tax cuts. Be it further resolved that the budget reserve is set at $660,992,000 and the cash flow account is set at $350 million. That is no change from the current resolution. Be it further resolved that the following changes in net expenditures from the general fund for fiscal year 2014 and 15 are set for the major finance bills in the 2014 regular session. Number one, a limit of $132,723,000 for the capital investment bill for debt service and general fund appropriations. Number two, a limit of zero for commerce and consumer protection finance bill. Number three, a limit of $75 million for the education finance bill. Number four, a limit of $16 million for the environmental, natural resource, and agriculture finance bill. And there will be a $1.5 million subgroup there for agriculture. Number five, $75 million for health care and human services finance bill. A limit of $17 million for the higher education finance bill. A limit of zero for the housing finance bill. And I think it's important to know, though, that capital investment will be carrying funding for housing. Number eight, a limit of $39 million for the Jobs Economic Development Finance Bill. A limit of zero for the Judiciary Finance Bill. By the way, I should point out that part of that $39 million for jobs and economic development will be to address broadband. That's an important initiative for many parts of the state. A limit of zero for the legacy finance bill. A limit of $36,500,000 for the public safety finance bill. A limit of zero for the state government finance bill. And should point out that, for example, pensions will be carried separately under the category of other bills. A limit of $550 million for the tax bill, and that would be covering tax bill number one that we had the budget resolution adjusted for at $501,870,000. So that leaves for tax bill number two, $75 million. a limit of $50 million for the transportation finance bill. And each of you should have in your packets a spreadsheet. And so with that, is there any discussion or any amendments? Representative Abler.
Thanks. A lot of question to this, Mr. Chair. And I'm just curious, the governor, on the capital investment thing, it's a large target compared to the governor.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear.
Oh, the capital investment target. Maybe Chair Hausman could just comment. I just don't understand. The governor's at $3 million and had a pretty big bonding bill, and yours is $132. Is there some cash or something on the side of that, or can you just explain that? I don't object necessarily. I just don't understand it.
You asked if Representative Hausman wanted to comment. Representative Hausman?
Whichever, Mr. Chair.
Want to yield, Representative Hausman? Or do you want me to mention it? What that does is it covers $850 million in general obligation bonds, and there would be $125 million in cash, and it would also carry $80 million, as I mentioned earlier, when I was on the housing line for housing.
Thank you. I just didn't understand. Appreciate it.
Representative Atkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I am not proposing an amendment, but literally as I was sitting here, I read an email from the new director of the Minnesota Racing Commission indicating a proposed budget increase that may come from their agency. And I'm not intending to propose an amendment to that, but they apparently have some urgent matters that would come through this. I don't believe that would have any general fund impact, but may have impact on certain internal fees. And maybe Mr. Marks, he's nodding a little bit. I think he has some awareness of it as well, and I just didn't want to see this bill come, or this resolution come through the committee without at least acknowledging that the information has been received by our committee.
It looked like Mr. Marks was ready to comment. Mr. Marks?
Mr. Chair, I'm not aware of whatever the issue is here. Racing Commission is likely not general fund, although if it's an additional need, it could be. But theirs is usually a special revenue fund account that they use.
Can I, Mr. Chairman?
Representative Atkins.
Mr. Chairman, I believe that's the case. I just didn't want to have anybody, as I literally read it, and then have somebody say, well, were you aware of it when this resolution came through the committee? So that's all I know at this point. If it needs action, obviously I'll bring it back to you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
And maybe we can have Mr. Marks or the fiscal analyst that would generally cover that check into it for you and I.
Thank you.
Okay, Representative Hulbert.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move the A3 amendment to the A2 amendment and ask for a roll call.
Okay, the motion is before us. Roll call is requested. Representative Hulbert, would you care to explain the amendment?
Certainly. The A3 amendment is basically the governor's budget recommendation with one exception. The governor does not actually appropriate a dollar amount to increase the budget reserve, but has said that whatever's left would go into the reserve. We take his hard numbers that he's proposed and then take the difference. So the reserve would actually go from the $660 million to $1,116 million. Other than that, for the rest of the budget resolution, it follows the recommendations in the governor's supplemental budget that came out a week ago, and I'd be happy to stand for questions.
Okay. Anyone have any questions? Representative Wagenius.
No question, but a comment, since we are another branch of government and make our own judgment calls. My committee, which is zero in here, has already sent to this committee a $1.5 million proposal to take excess food from fields from willing farmers and have it given to food shelves. And our committee voted for that. I won't say unanimously, but very strongly, and certainly bipartisanly. So I would not want
to preclude us from having our own thoughts and our own judgment, and I would oppose this amendment.
Representative Holberg, any further comments? I would encourage a no vote for the very reasons that Representative Wagenius outlined. I find the amendment rather interesting, being that I'm introducing the governor's budget bill. But
you might find my vote on the amendment interesting, too.
You know, when I introduce it, I fully understand, as Representative Wagenius pointed out, that we do operate as a separate branch of government, and understood and knew that there would be amendments to the governor's budget as we went through the process. So I would encourage a no vote. Representative Mahoney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I would encourage a no vote, particularly for the just if for no other reason that the $25 million in broadband to our greater Minnesota, well, it's not just greater Minnesota, but that's where the need is left out of this amendment. And if we are going to continue to support greater Minnesota, we need to really actually put money into the broadband. And a vote for this particular amendment is saying small towns in greater Minnesota, let's abandon them and not give them broadband, which is the new electrification of this century. So just on that alone, leaving out broadband for our small towns in greater Minnesota, it'll be interesting to see how this vote goes.
Okay, any further discussion? Okay, seeing none, clerk will take the roll.
Carlson?
No.
Abler?
No.
Anderson?
No.
Anzell?
No.
Atkins?
No.
Beard excused. Breinart?
No.
Clark excused. Davids?
No.
Dabney?
No.
Dean? Detmer? Gunther?
No.
Hackbarth?
No.
Hausman?
No.
Hillstrom excused. Holberg?
No.
Hornstein?
No.
Huntley?
No.
Kahn?
No.
Manchesti excused. Loon?
No.
Mahoney?
No.
Mariani?
No.
Marquardt?
No.
McNamara?
No.
Mullery?
No.
Nornes?
No.
Paymar?
No.
Plowski?
No.
Poppy?
No.
Simon?
No.
Wagenius?
No.
Woodard?
No.
Lincheski?
No.
The motion is defeated. We'll have the tabulation in a moment.
It's a close vote.
Did you say it was a close vote?
Yeah.
Okay, 29 nays and zero ayes. And I think, as we pointed out, we always do amend whoever the governor happens to be their budget. That's part of our role, and so we'll leave it at that. Representative Hausman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I did want to speak to the issue of capital investment and talk a little bit about historic context and then just the last 2 years. I am told by some who served with him that way back when Rudy Perpich was governor, he signed the first $1 billion bonding bill. We are still using that as our psychological barrier, that you always have to stay just under. And think about how long ago he served and how the buying power of that compares to today. That's the impact on all public infrastructure in the state. Higher education, which is our future, wastewater infrastructure, transportation, public safety and corrections, vast amounts of economic development around the state, natural resources, environment. And that's the psychological barrier that we can't break through. And I'd like to just do the math of the budget resolution. 850 in geo bonding and 125 million in cash is 975 million. But I'd like to suggest that we have to deduct $235 million. That is what we will do in last year and this year for the capital. That's a once-in-a-century outlay. And when you deduct that one project, we're down to $740 million for a two-year period for all public infrastructure. I think all of the thousands, I have to tell you, that is not an exaggeration. We've traveled the state and we have spoken literally to thousands. Everyone gets that infrastructure around the state is going to be what keeps us economically healthy and economically competitive. And for us not to have a more bold vision, I think, is going to hurt us. There's a huge backlog. I see Minskew here. We looked at their list this year, and we looked at the numbers of times they've come to us with most of the items on their list, and they were submitted in 2008, 2010, 2012. That's the backlog. They don't go away. That backlog for infrastructure doesn't go away. It is going to hurt us, I think. If we were robust, if we had the courage, it could have an enormous effect all over the state. And so I am disappointed in that, and certainly that particular part of the budget resolution I'm not supporting.
Okay. Any further discussion? I understand we have an amendment by Representative Abler. Were you planning on moving that?
I would like to, if I could.
Okay. Motion is
Mr. Chair, I'll move the Abler amendment and then ask for a roll call.
Okay, roll call has been requested. If you could explain the amendment.
Absolutely, Mr. Chair. And this is, I appreciate everything everybody said about the House has to define its own way. And to Chair Hausman with her comments about the capital investment, I would appreciate her frustration. And this amendment here is of a similar nature on a different topic. It's about the raise for the direct care workers. The governor came out with a 4% increase. And there's been a big push for a 5% increase. If you're aware in the history that these workers work about $10 an hour. There's a lot of discussion about minimum wage and livable wages and attracting good staff to our most vulnerable clients. And a real problem throughout the state. There's a bill introduced, two bills introduced, in fact, Mr. Chair, with over 70 authors in the House. A majority of House members support a 5% number on the COLA, not a 4, not a 3.5. The budget resolution that we may be approving in a short time, if the governor's recommendations within the HHS target are realized, which includes a salary supplement for state employees at MSOP and a $3 million cost for a special master because of the court ruling, and some other things that are pretty modest, we'll only give about a 3.5% increase. And if you don't do some of those, you can get to the 4, but not without undoing some of the governor's, I think, very solid recommendations in this area. And so just to avoid those choices that I don't think anybody here wants to make, my amendment would raise the target by, I believe, about $13 million, something like that. Is it $23 million, Mr. Mayor? Yeah, $23 million, to allow for the full 5%, which clearly a majority of members in the House would like, and I presume a majority of your caucus, Mr. Chair, and without making any other decisions about other parts in the bill. And if the committee decides it doesn't want to buy all the things the governor bought, they could choose not to do that and turn the money back. But this way, they'd have the opportunity to do what everybody has been eager to get done, which is this 5% number. And so that's the bill. And I want to also raise a concern, and Mr. Chair, maybe you can answer the question. As the minimum wage bill moves its way forward, there's a concern on the part of some of these very providers that have overnight sleep staff that get paid $8 an hour to sleep and the likes of that, that will have to somehow come to minimum wage should it become $9.50. Will there be a special target, Mr. Chair, to accommodate an add-on for those workers, for those employers of those workers, as that bill moves forward? I think it's the amount of money is unknown, but it's, I think, a little better than $10 million, but it's only an estimate.
Yeah, I haven't had any discussions on that particular issue. I think if it turns out to be a problem, we'd have to know what that number is. that's all I can say at this point in time. But you're the first that's raised that question relative to that particular category of workers.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'm raising it, and hopefully politely, because I know it's a high priority of at least some members of this committee, and I believe it's going to go forward at the end of the day. But if that money comes out of the what's ever left of the 5%, if it's 4% that comes out of the House, or 3.5% if we fund the rest of the governor's priorities, then that could take up to 1.5% of that raise just to fill in the gaps. And I don't think that's the intention of anybody in the House. And so as negotiations go forward, I wanted to raise that concern because this is not a nominal concern. The quality, I think if we had an amendment to vote for quality care for all these most vulnerable individuals, developmentally disabled, brain injury, CADI people, mental illness, and so on, that we would say we want absolutely quality care. And so the trouble in the industry is the turnover. And frankly, 5% is not going to change the turnover. But the best way you can assure quality care to some of these individuals is a longstanding person who knows the curiosities and the individualities of these individuals who are often very difficult to chat to work for. And I tell you, I've met a lot of them over my years, and so has a lot of you. You represent them. These people are angels. They are saints. They work for modest dollars, long, grueling hours, in thankless situations, and they don't want to quit their jobs. They want to stay. And so this will help them to show that we actually care. And the 5% campaign should have been a 10% campaign because the raises have been so slow in coming. And this is going to give most of these individuals a 50-cent raise. And so that's what I thought the House was going to be for, not a 35-cent raise or a 40-cent raise. So, Mr. Chair, I hope that in view of this information, maybe the chair wasn't aware that over 70 members in the House have signed on to this bill, that you want a chance to actually make it happen. And so I believe the governor was in error in his target, but here we are some $7 million below that target. And I think to show in a strong way the priority of the House on this matter, I think would be a great thing, Mr. Chair. And so I urge members to vote yes. Thank you.
Representative Dabney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I just want to comment regarding Representative Abler's reference to overnight staff being paid to sleep. Having worked in some of these settings in the past, they're not paid to sleep. They're paid to be there in times of crisis. They're paid to be there in times where assistance and intervention and care is needed. You know, as Representative Abler stated, some of the individuals living in these settings can have challenging, difficult behaviors, and 10 o'clock doesn't change that. Those odd and things can happen late at night in these settings, and having professional staff there who are able to assist and support and intervene, whatever's appropriate, is critical. And so we're not paying people to sleep. We're paying people to be on present and available. And I'd just like to comment. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you. Representative Huntley?
Well, Mr. Chair and members, I agree with practically everything Representative Abler said, and these people are grossly underpaid and have not gotten a raise for quite a while. In fact, have been cut. However, in last year's bill, we did give this particular group, we gave the nursing homes 5%, we gave this particular group, which does the same work as people working in nursing homes, a 1% raise starting in April. What is in, there's sufficient money to give them another 4% in the target we have, and so that would get them equal to what we gave for nursing home workers. So is it enough? No, but it's what our target is, and I support the target.
Any further discussion? Representative Brenner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Abler, I would echo Representative Huntley, and then I agree with the spirit of everything you said about the importance of these workers, the issues around maintaining the workforce and an appropriate reward for the level of care and concern they give. I've been lobbied on this issue by hundreds and hundreds of community members. We have a large number
of group homes in our area and facilities that these workers, have committed themselves to the care for the very needy population. But I did not sign up to support this campaign until 2 weeks ago, precisely because I could not say 5%, because the issue was one, in my mind, around equity between what we gave nursing home workers and what we were giving our long-term care providers and other settings. And I think the campaign clearly understands that their likelihood was to receive 4%, even though there are issues around minimum wage and other things. But the 5%, there was some PR dimension to that 5% figure, but they recognized equity was at 4%. So I would say that everyone who in the House who has signed up to support the campaign wasn't necessarily committed to that 5% figure, I being one of those.
Okay, any further discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative.
And not to belabor it, this is a good discussion, and Representative Dabney, I didn't mean to minimize the value of those workers at all, and they are, these are all salt of the earth. And Representative Brinert, just to point out that nursing homes have not been cut in the last cycles, and these groups actually have sustained a 1.5% reduction. The bill that left the House in 2011 did not have a reduction. The governor's bill had a 4%, and we were forced to be driven to that number. And I was kicking and screaming to not have that happen, and I could not prevail against all the forces that were there. And so the House is at a strong position about protecting these very workers. And so if you do the 1.5%, then actually with the 4 and the 1, they're actually only getting 4.5%. And so, but, and this is the last thing, Mr. Chair, not to believe it at all, but the bill that was introduced after the 1% took effect. And so people that signed up for the 5% would have signed up for a new 5% for the very reason about these reductions that have occurred over the last several cycles. And they've been done on a bipartisan basis and not with any happiness, I would point out. So thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll leave it at that. Thank you for your yes vote today, Mr. Chair. I wanted to also commend you for having the lovely green jackets today in St. Pat's Day, and the ICR staff has had green covers on their jackets in honor of this most festive holiday. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Well, you know, I had to dig hard in my closet to find a little bit of green. But as Representative Mullery, who just laughed, knows that my great-grandfather was Patrick McGinnigan, so that it's pretty Irish. But my wardrobe didn't reflect that heritage. Okay, with that, any further discussion on the A4 amendment? Seeing none, then the clerk will take the roll.
Carlson?
No.
Abler?
Yes.
Anderson?
Yes.
Ansel?
No.
Atkins?
No.
Beards excused. Brinert?
No.
Clark excused. Davids?
Yes.
Dabney?
No.
Dean?
Yep.
Detmer? Gunther?
Yes.
Hackbarth?
Aye.
Hausman?
No.
Hillstrom excused. Holberg?
Yes.
Hornstein?
No.
Huntley?
No.
Kahn?
No.
Mancheski?
No.
Loon?
Yes.
Mahoney?
No.
Mariani?
No.
Marquardt?
No.
McNamara?
Yes.
Mullery?
No.
Norness?
Yes.
Hamar?
Yes.
Down 2 points.
Yeah. Polowski?
No.
Poppy?
No.
Simon?
No.
Wagenius?
No.
Woodard?
Yes.
Okay, being 12 ayes and 18 nays, motion is defeated. Are there any further amendments or further discussion? Okay, seeing none, I would like to renew my motion that CSRES06A2 be amended, and that is before us. Any further discussion on the amendment to the House budget resolution? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
Motion carries. With that, Representative Huntley. Got one bill remaining, and if this one goes fairly quickly, we'll need not return this evening.
Well, Mr. Chair, I would move that House File 2655 be referred to the General Register.
Okay, the motion is before us, and Representative Huntley and Mr. Burke.
Mr. Chair and members, this is the most controversial bill I've ever carried. It's, seriously, it's completely technical. It clarifies a couple of things we passed last year, and the reason it's not being tucked into the omnibus Health and Human Services Finance Bill is that there's a deadline approaching starting in April, I believe. And if we don't change some of the language that we did last year, they won't be able to make the disbursements that they're trying to make. So this is really, it's completely technical, and Mr. Berg can explain in a little bit more detail.
Mr. Berg?
Mr. Chairman, Representatives, Chairman Huntley is correct. This bill makes two changes to last year's omnibus Health and Human Services Finance Bill. It spends no more or less money than that bill did. The first change is on page 3 of the bill in front of you. It changes the number in a rider for adoption assistance and relative custody care to the correct number. There was some back and forth with the governor's original proposal last year, and the wrong rider number was put in. The appropriations are correct. DHS has been cash flowing the three programs in this section at the appropriate level, but they disperse funds on a quarterly basis. The fourth quarter of fiscal 14 starts on April 1st, so they need to get this adjusted so that the three programs can get the appropriate amounts of money they were intended to. And then on page
six.
You'll see we add in, there was simply a rider that was misplaced in the bill. It's added in the correct spot on page 6. It is for the high-risk adults program, which is doing an evaluation of a program that assists former offenders, prison people who have served prison time, in reintegrating into the community. Again, the numbers and the total appropriations were correct in the bill and on the spreadsheet. The rider was simply misplaced, so it's put in the appropriate place on page 6, and it is deleted. The exact same rider is deleted on page 9, and that's the entire bill.
Okay, any discussion? Well, seeing none, then, I renew my, or Representative Huntley renews his motion that House File 2655 be recommended to be placed on the General Register. Any further discussion? Seeing none, then, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Thank you, members.
With that, I want to thank everybody.
When they're in charge.
Representative Lincheski.
Mr. Chair, I just would like to put something on the record, and I apologize because I had to be at a different meeting. And I just want to put on the record that I'm going to talk to Representative Hansen about the legacy bill. At the end of the bill, there's a tax provision in there that never was heard in our committee, and I'm tracking it through. It looks like it was put on by amendment by Representative Green, and I just want to have further conversation because it changes how we assess properties in conservation easements, and that's really a tax provision. So hope to talk to folks about that later.
And I'll be having a conversation.
I apologize that I missed a hearing, so maybe on the floor we could remove it if we can't come to an agreement, but it should have come to the committee. Thank you.
Been there. Holbert.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Hey, we're still having some questions and comments.
Could you let the committee know kind of what your plan is for the rest of the week, additional meetings?
I think we're pretty well done, yeah, for the week. You know, the session is moving rather rapidly. I have no plans at this point for an additional meeting.
Okay.
And I just checked with staff, and I don't think we have any bills that at this point we need to hear.
But right. We appreciate that.
I think we all have to understand we're subject to change, but I do want to respect the deadline for the other committees, so we want to reduce conflicts as much as possible.
All right,
I think
thank
we can
you.
Count on next Monday for sure, but this week probably not. Okay, any other questions, comments? Meeting adjourned.